T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Dig your cleats in. Get your peanuts, Cracker Jacks, and IPAs ready. This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
The pitch from Acevedo. A drive deep to right field. Down the line. The Mariners win this game 2-1. The dream lives. They're going to the playoffs. The drought is over. Cal Raleigh, world.
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Shut up.
And Rutschman will hit a fly ball here. Deep center field, and so long. Adley Rutschman with a moonshot to center field.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher. This is the Hot Corner on the Odyssey app and 1080. The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must-be-a-Wednesday, but baby, you know what it is around here. It's always a Wednesday. Patrick Harris,
Let's
Joe
go.
Fisher with you. Just a friendly reminder, April 2nd, we'll be moving to Tuesday.
How about this sound effect?
Dude, that's the old Beers on Us sound effect.
Did that
right
go
there.
Over air? Did you hear that?
I think it did.
Honk your horn if you heard that.
Sometimes it's just deserved, needed. My friends, I was here at 5:45. We're here now, but I am fresh, ready to rumble. We are moving.
That was a soda. That was a soda, by the way.
We are moving. Next, we got like, what, three more shows, something like that.
I think this is the third to last show.
April 2nd, we'll be moving to Tuesdays from 7 to 9. That works out better for everyone, I promise.
Oh, yes. I agree. Hell yeah.
So thank you for joining us here on a Wednesday. I don't know what Tuesdays are going to be like.
It's going to be a day earlier.
I always just give up on Tuesdays because it's not as cool as a Wednesday.
Well, also, I would contest that Tuesday is the worst day of the week, not Monday. Monday, you have some sense of optimism.
Yeah, you're kind of like, oh, I can keep going on
I'm
this.
I'm going to kick ass this week. And then by the end of Monday, you're like, I am not going to kick ass this week at all.
And then Wednesday, you're in the middle, so you're kind of like, well, I can see the end.
Yeah, Tuesday, it feels like just the dark abyss.
You're just in no man's
land. Kill me now.
Yeah, so hopefully nobody wants to kill themselves while we're doing our baseball show on Wednesday or on Tuesday, but I understand why you would.
988, I believe, is the hot number that you can call, like, for the I'm listening. Not like Odyssey, I'm listening. Like, if you're struggling and need help, if you need someone to talk to, if you are in crisis, 988 on the cell phone.
When you're down and out.
I think.
Feeling Hold on, small.
Everybody. I think.
We think.
This is, I mean, this. These drops are one of the best things that ever happened to this station.
Is this the pinnacle of Jason Swigard's career right now?
Possibly.
Calling,
here's the situation.
Calling that game or the drops being made of him?
Oh, I think all of it.
Just all of it.
All of it combined.
All encompassing.
Because, my friends, I was in here at 6 a.m. with the legend that is Jason Swigard.
Did he even know at that point?
He did.
It's over.
But he wasn't sure if he did.
It's over.
Oh, God. I can't, dude. I really can't.
I will tell you, Swag was in good shape this morning.
Good for him.
He we wanted to talk some Nick Saban NIL this morning, and he was like, I already got the audio.
Hanging out with Ted Cruz.
He was like, it's pulled. I got it. Just let me know. I was like, do you got it on a hockey page? Or want me to fire off myself? He's like, just call for me.
Bill Belichick over
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
He had it. He was ready to rumble.
Yeah, he even had a spec spot ready for me, ready to go as soon as I walked in the door. Hey, the guy's dialed in.
Hey. The guy is swag for a reason.
You know, I know the joke is that Dusty is the one that does all the blow. There's no way that swag operates at the level that he does without dipping into the booger sugar. Right?
There's something. There's some substance.
What the hell is the meaning of this?
That's the truth.
Whether it be caffeine you're in Vegas. Or more.
I mean, Joe, you're sniffling, dude. Are you got the goods?
Allergies.
I see that little bag over there, dude. What's going on in that
little dope bag?
You can see that on YouTube if you're ready.
Can we hurry this up so I can run to the bathroom?
I mean, if you have a cold, you have the excuse to take Sudafed, right? So you can stay awake a little bit.
What, you never done cocaine with a little bit of cold in you?
No, sir. Sudafed. Never done cocaine without cold in me.
Sudafed you can't get over the counter anymore?
I believe in Oregon, if you go scan your license... Like at the pharmacy, and like you pick up a card, like it's like got the picture of the box on it. You can go get a box while you're sick, but you can't just go buy it in mass.
See, that's BS. That's why I live in Washington.
What the hell is this? It's a new champion.
That's how I feel. That's how I feel. That's why I live in Washington, baby. Let's effing go.
Well, the reason I ask this is because yes, over the weekend. I had a little bit of the sniffles, and then Sunday night, it was like, okay, this is allergies. And then the lady friend, she's like, hey, I got some Sudafed for you. She is a pharmacist.
Ooh.
So she's got the good stuff.
She got them scripts where you just dribble a line, and it looks like a doctor signed it.
Dude, she is sneaking the good Zyrtec. I'm sure the prescription level Zyrtec.
I don't even know what that is, but I want it.
It's an allergy medicine.
I got a dead show coming up. Sounds like I'm going to rail that.
It's got Sudafed
in
it.
Want some of this Zyrtec, man?
It's better than like ketamine or fentanyl. So
you'll be breathing great.
Although, I mean, there are some cool things about ketamine.
Yeah. So she got me some Sudafed, and then that's why I was wondering. I was like, wait, isn't this like you can't even get this, man?
Well, I remember I am somebody who does suffer from a little bit of allergies, and it's like there are two components that you get that are in Sudafed. It's like the antihistamine and the cough suppressant. And if they're in the same pill, you can make meth out of it.
God. Yeah, I know that's why
you had to like show
allowed.
Your ID at the counter to get some. It was still over the counter, but you couldn't be, you know, you couldn't just be walking in like
with scabs
all willy nilly,
scabs all over your face.
I'm pretty sure I was born in at one point the meth capital of the world, Salem, Oregon. So,
oh, I thought that was Missouri.
No, for a while, Salem had a per capita to meth lab ratio of. A lot.
Speaking of
hold
meth.
Hold on, everybody.
Speaking of meth and wrestling, pretty sure The Rock went and turned all heel on people the other night. The Rock is back, by the way.
The Rock is back. And he is a heel.
And he was in, like, Phoenix, and
he is a heel.
And he straight up just dropped. Do you know that Phoenix has the highest level of meth? Deaths and overdoses per capita.
Here's the situation.
He was letting them know the meth situation in Phoenix, Arizona. I had no idea.
Do you think it's cooler to be on meth in the pouring rain under the historic Fremont Bridge,
or is it now cooler been cleared to be out?
Just go up the block.
They moved them two blocks,
they just moved a couple blocks.
I know, but they're not under the bridge.
That's
anymore.
True. It looks a lot better when you come through the bridge. Is it cooler to be on drugs when you're under the historic Fremont Bridge, or is it cooler to be on drugs when you're in the Arizona desert?
Would you rather?
Does this get to the question of what drugs are you on?
What weather do I want to do my meth in?
Yeah, if you're talking literally, cooler would be Portland, Oregon.
Yeah, meth and such, I would choose Portland. But ayahuasca, like, Arizona's not far from California. Give me them Joshua trees.
Do you think
Jim Morrison, shout out.
Do you think the meth heads, like, kind of have the same same idea as us. Like, these winters and falls, they can be rough and wet, but, you know, the summers here are just wonderful.
It's over!
Especially when you're really high on meth.
I am Native American. I've done peyote one time at a powwow that
It's pronounced peyote.
I did fry bread at a powwow one time.
Dude, the fry bread that you get taco-like toppings on, that's where it's at.
Fry bread is wonderful.
Fry bread's amazing. But the peyote was best done in... like a forest or like kind of outdoor setting. So yeah, I would assume ayahuasca. I don't know what that's like.
Get you all horned up.
Not horned up, but you become one with the world.
Well, you got to be in a good spot to do ayahuasca because you're probably going to pee and poop yourself. So you need to be in like a safe space.
Or smoke like, poison tree frog venom? I hear that's a thing.
I just watched Dune 2 and he had to drink the water of life. And spoiler alert, I'll let you watch the movie, which doesn't finish anything because I guess we got another one.
According to BanyanTreatmentCenter.com, Michigan, the number one state with meth problems. I don't know what their what they use for their unit of measurement.
That's because here in Oregon, we like the finer things of life. We prefer the meth is for losers. Fentanyl gets the job done quicker.
Yeah, pretty
Visit
cheap right
www.fentanylisgod.com.
now.
www.fentanylisgod.com.
Yeah, Michigan, New York, Indiana, Illinois. Yeah, Oregon doesn't even crack the top 10. What are we doing?
Yeah, where's Washington? That's what I'm telling you, the greatest state in the union. Am I right?
Yeah!
No. Oregon, we're like 30.
It's so cool that your people don't even want to work there. You live there, but then you want to leave.
Oh, that's border stuff. When you talk about border crisis, that's the real border crisis.
Yeah, we got to lock down our borders. Keep the Washingtonians out.
Exactly. We don't want to come over here anyway. Oakley Doakley. Well, we got a great show for you lined up today. We'd like to thank the baseball gods for dropping some breaking news on us. Plus, I want to talk about... Yeah, this is going to be a common theme throughout the show for that the entire season is like the Dodgers got, they just keep giving me things that I want to trash them for. Plus we got major, major concerns in New York. And then we will also continue our preview coming into the season. We have now switched over to the American League. We'll dive into the Central. We'll do that at the 8 o'clock hour plus fair or foul. 503-863-6426 is the Vancouver Ford text line.
And Jeff Russ chimes in, pretty sure it was the pseudoephedrine the meth heads wanted from the pseudofed.
Thank you, Rusty.
That's what it is.
Thank you, Rusty. The hardest working man in entertainment. Don't tell Jason Swigard.
Rusty,
we think.
Rusty knows his meth.
Rusty knows his stuff.
That whole afternoon show's a mess.
They're an absolute mess.
They're a meth.
It's over!
But shout out, Rusty. We love you, brother. All right. 503-863-62. I can't even do it anymore. All right. That's the Vancouver Ford text line. They'll treat you right before, during, and after the sale.
When we come back. Number halfway through.
When we come back, the Padres have made a deal, and it sounds like there were a bunch of other people. Was this enough to get the highest coveted guy on the market? We'll do that next. The Hot Corner, Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. 718 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. Joe Fisher, Patrick Harris with you as we do every Wednesday night before we move to Tuesdays. It must be a Tuesday is going to sound weird. I'm probably going to have to retire that. I got to say it this morning on Dirt and Sprague, and Will Ortner looked at me like, ooh, hey, nice, buddy.
Find a new catchphrase.
Yeah, I guess so. You never want to like force a catchphrase, but it just happened one day, and then I just kept saying it.
There's a whole American Dad episode about that where she's like, I need to come up with a catchphrase. The wife, Francine, and she literally is sitting there in the living room just brainstorming, writing them down. No, that one's not good.
Yeah, but then what happens? Then you get, let's ride.
No, she comes.
Hey, Seattle.
She comes up with a pretty solid one. Things are getting too spicy for the pepper.
But apparently that was already the slogan for like a hot sauce company. So she was taking somebody else's idea.
Like LeBron trying to take Taco Tuesday. That hadn't been around for like 40 years.
Yeah, when you try to create a catchphrase, it's like trying to create a nickname.
Simpsons already did it.
You know, like Joe, I've been calling you Joe Fish since I met you.
Well, and granted, I started calling myself that as soon as I worked here.
But I mean, like, you didn't walk in and say, I'm Joe Fish.
Well, I
was just like, hey, I'm Joe.
In high school, I went by J Fish.
No, see, there you go. So it's a natural progression.
And then I feel like, I was like, well, no,
I've gone by P. Harris forever.
That's not going to work on the radio because they need to know what my first name is. And my uncle used to be on the radio and he went just by Fish.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all right, I gotta make my own lane here.
See, well, that's great. I don't know what I'm going to do with Tuesday, but I'm going to have to figure it out.
You want to distinguish yourself from the crappy band Fish, too.
Whoa.
P-H-I-S-H.
Those are fighting words right
really?
There.
Really? You think they're amazing?
That's not fighting words for defending? Me. It's the guy across the faux marble table.
You want a hot take?
You don't like Fish either?
Those aren't fighting words for me.
Oh, what?
No, I'm a Tab kid.
Thank God. I was like, what, we got a fish lover here?
No, I like Tab. I'm not a fish kid.
What is Tab? The soda?
Trey Anastasio is the lead guitar player for Fish and vocals. He has a side project called the Trey Anastasio Band, known as Tab.
Ah.
And he plays his Fish songs, but with a horn section.
So you like Fish?
No, I like Tab.
He likes Fish with horns.
Likes, yeah, horny
fish. I like less jam fish, more horns with only Trey.
You like horny fish is what it is.
I like horny Trey.
Horny fish. Maybe that's the new radio name.
Well, Tab is for horny people, so there you go.
Mornings with horny fish.
We got a lot to get through this hour, but I want to start with the news that the baseball gods did give us. The Padres, the San Diego Padres, are finalizing a trade to acquire right-hander Dylan Cease from the Chicago White Sox. And there's so much to unfold on this, so I kind of want to dive right into it. What's interesting is they gave up their number 4 prospect and their number 7 prospect within their system. I believe they are 64 and something else as far as the major league. The big piece of this is the guy they got from the Yankees for Juan Soto. That's the big piece they moved to grab Dylan Cease. Now, there's so many ways to approach this. So which way do you want to go, Joe? Do you want to go the Padres way or the White Sox way?
Oh, we go the Padres way because I believe we're doing an AL Central preview tonight, correct?
We are, yes. That's a good point. So we could get to that later.
And let's be honest, that White Sox kind of preview, that's going to be pretty snappy.
We're going to be real quick.
Pretty quick on that one.
So Dylan Cease goes to the San Diego Padres. I find this interesting. Like, Dylan Cease is a fantastic pitcher. He has pitched more innings than anybody else in baseball since 2019. So the guy's clearly got the stamina. He can go the distance. He's a workhorse. He has been in Cy Young contention. There are rumors circulating that the Yankees, the Giants, and the Rangers were also in on this Dylan Cease deal. So clearly teams that are going for it. Who knows about the Yankees? We'll get to them in about 10 minutes, maybe a half hour. And so, like, he was to be had. For the Padres, this is interesting to me because is Dylan Cease just not a slight upgrade, if that, from Blake Snell? Like, what does Dylan Cease going to the Padres really make you think about them, knowing they're not going to have the reigning National League Cy Young winner?
Yeah, it's a great point. I mean, they had Snell last year, NL Cy Young.
And lost 80 games.
I was going to say, and this team was very meh last year. So
yeah.
I hear what you're saying. Like, and it's funny, we were talking about the starting rotation last week and how we were kind of underwhelmed with it. And now all I've been seeing now and it is like, Look at this rotation.
Joe Musgrave, Yu Darvish, Dylan Cease. Cool. I saw that last year with Will Musgrove and Yu Darvish and Blake Snell, who won the Cy Young.
Yeah, I think that it's a. And when I even saw the Padres were in on him, I think yesterday or the day before, I was just like, why? Like, why do the Padres of all teams need him? Obviously, they know that they're missing or not going to get Blake Snell back. Is there a sentiment probably?
Well,
and so they're like, how do we stay stagnant and then maybe build on this? But they're going in the wrong direction already. Like, we already know this team is not going to be very good or very threatening this year at all. Maybe we're wrong.
Maybe last year
was a fluke, but it definitely doesn't seem like that.
Well,
and especially you lose Bob Melvin, you're just like, all right, what's going on with this team?
Well, there's a lot of things with San Diego. Like, Cease is under contract for this year. He costs $8 million next year. So you basically have a long-term rental who's cheaper than Blake Snell. Okay, so you're looking at it like, here we go. Also, what you traded to get him is basically your centerpiece of the Juan Soto trade. And let me ask you a question. We'll do the AL East next week, but how much do you love Yankee prospects right now?
Not much.
How much have you ever
loved Yankees prospects, frankly?
Well, in 1995, I loved Yankee prospects.
Yes, one time. Maybe twice.
But yeah, you are correct. So it's like, this is an affordable rental that does fill that need from losing Blake Snell that you don't want to pay because he's going to want $25 to $30 million a year, Scott Boras guy. But yeah, this team is largely the same minus Juan Soto. Now, the question is Juan Soto the problem? Was he the problem in San Diego?
I don't think so.
Probably
not.
Because Bob Melvin wanted to get out of there faster than they wanted to get rid of him.
I thought the more the ownership was the issue there. Him not being able to spend the money and actually go to his owner and be like, yo, we need pieces, and we're just not going to get them for you.
He spent the money.
He knew Blake Snell wasn't going to be back. The reason that they're making this deal in the first place, like you pointed out, Patrick, was to keep payroll down. That's been their goal this entire offseason. It's why
they ain't got money.
Yeah, they wanted to get rid of Soto. They're essentially taking the Mariners approach here, which Cease, runner-up for the Cy Young in 2022. He's been a great, amazing elite pitcher at the MLB level, so we're going to try to get him off of a down year. He's still cheap, and he's very affordable to a team like the Padres that are cutting payroll. This is a very Jerry DePoto-esque move, so I see where they're coming from.
What I find interesting is that the Padres traded the number 64 prospect overall in baseball for Dylan Cease. Is Dylan Cease not as good as we're being told he is?
Well, I mean, he had a pretty lackluster year last season.
4.5 ERA last year.
Well, and I don't know. Chalk that up to just all the White Sox sucking last year.
Totally. And you and I have been on the record for this for a while, that the White Sox, yeah, we got the A's. Yeah, we got problems in baseball. But boy, the White Sox look like a very poorly run organization.
Yeah, so, I think that there is a return to form possible for him. The previous two years before last season, he was great. Like you mentioned, the year before that, Cy Young contention.
Most innings pitched since 2019.
He had a 3 ERA. So, I mean, the dude, yeah, exactly. And having a starting pitcher that can go out there and give you 170, 180 innings at least. I mean,
at least. That's sexy.
Now, I just wonder if being in the NL West, like, there are players that have troubles with certain divisions. I haven't looked at it yet as far as how he's stacked up against the NL West in his career.
Probably
not a lot of matchups, but, I mean, you're going to be going up against the Dodgers. You're going up against the Giants, who feel like they can be in contention for the wild card this year.
They were in on Cease.
And then you're going for going against the Diamondbacks, who just get on base all the time and then they take advantage of being on base as well. That's where I wonder is, you were against the AL Central over the last couple of years, one of the weakest divisions in baseball.
If not the.
And now you're in the NL West, which is very competitive.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, and we'll get out on this. And we'll stay in the National League West, but let me get you out on this. Last week we did our NL West preview. If this news breaks 3 days before we do our NL West preview, and you got a little time to kind of sit and really think about it, look at his matchups and stuff like that. Does Dylan Cease going to the Padres change your opinion on how they fare in the division?
Because I went Dodgers, Giants, Diamondbacks for the basically that top three, and then Padres, Rockies.
And I was there with you. I think we like swapped Giants, Diamondbacks or something like that, but we have the same three.
Yeah, I don't know if it changes a whole lot. That's what I'm saying. This is like nice little move, but kind of staying stagnant here.
That's why it really makes me wonder if those Yankee prospects just really aren't worth a damn. All right, that's enough of that. We'll see how that plans out.
It plays out.
But, I mean, the Padres are making moves. I mean, if you want to compete with the Dodgers in that division, you're going to have to do something. But speaking of them, There are more rumblings, and I'm going to hammer this until the end of time. There are more rumblings, things going on in the Dodgers organization that does not make me feel they are the clear-cut favor for the 2024 World Series. We'll get to that next. Can you play shortstop? But first, there's Schultzy with sports.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll continue our preview leading up to the 2024 opening day, which is actually in like 8 days or something like that. But for the real season that will start, we'll continue our preview. We'll dive into the American League Central, a former love of mine that had a nice little shakeup today. Plus, I have some interesting thoughts on a couple teams in there, so that can be a lot of fun. We'll do that at 8 o'clock, plus fair foul at 8:30. Was sticking in the National League West, Joe. This story broke at some point late last week, and I've actually been kind of like holding on to it. Like, I actually haven't even talked to my friends about it.
I'm not your friend?
Well, no, I just mean, yeah, you are my friend. Of course you're my friend.
No, I get it.
I, like, haven't... Oh, and Joe's leaving. Okay, all right.
Secrets are no fun.
But I've actually been holding on to this because you know me. If there's any moment I can trash on Dave Roberts, it's going to be here.
Dude, and I think it's outside of just the decision... There's a quote he had, which I'm like, wow, he needs to be just killed for that as well. But continue.
Yeah. I think you got two teams that are like in the news right now, the Dodgers and the Yankees. And without getting to the Yankees, we'll get to them in about 15 minutes. I can't tell you which manager I hate more between Aaron Boone and Dave Roberts.
Oh, you hate Dave Roberts more.
I think I hate Dave Roberts more.
You do.
And that's saying a lot because I think Aaron Boone, who seems like a wonderful dude, good TV guy and a decent ball player, I really hate what he's doing in New York, but yeah, I think I hate Dave Roberts more. They cannot figure out what to do with Gavin Lux. Okay, he missed all last year, and now he's back. And they need him. They need him on a World Series run where they spent $1 billion on people. They need him to play shortstop, and he's got the yips.
He can't
and
play
he's
shortstop.
Got the yips. He can't throw the ball from shortstop to first.
There is there's a video compilation of him going on around right now.
You have one job.
If you haven't seen him play, go and seek out this video compilation of him playing shortstop this spring training. It's god awful.
You're lucky Freddie Freeman's there. Otherwise, it'd be worse.
Dude, it is
even
like...
Even the minor league guys are bailing you out.
He is throwing grounders to first base. Like, it is god awful.
Routine balls to shortstop. Dude, aren't even legging it out.
How do you get to be a top prospect in the Dodgers? Not just, like, the Marlins. The Dodgers system while throwing, like, Chuck Knobloch. Tell me how.
So this means that Mookie Betts is going to move to shortstop, which, by the way, in my opinion, as I've been banging on for the last maybe year and a half, Mookie Betts might be the most valuable player in baseball.
It sounds like it. They just tell him, hey, can you play here?
Hey, you want to win Gold Glove and right?
Hey, can you play second? How about you play shortstop? Can you pitch maybe? Like, I don't blame you. It sure as hell seems like it because wherever they need him to play, he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And I wouldn't be surprised if he picks up where he left off last year, because he did play a few games last year at shortstop and was pretty damn good. But it unreal that we're not even at the season and the Dodgers already have this problem.
This is absolutely blowing my mind. We talked about this, and I was like, I don't know what they're going to do at third. I don't know what they're going to do at short. I don't really know what the outfield looks like. And in positions you already have solidified, you now have question marks. Have you seen the compilation of Gavin Lux playing second base? It still doesn't look good. Like, bro, you have the yips in spring training? You guys are trying to win World Series at 5 out of the next 6, and you can't throw from second to first?
Well, dude, it's just like...
I am no athlete. I'm a FA. You can see it on the YouTube channel. I got a double chin growing right now. I can throw from second to first.
I'm sorry, but this is like something that like they teach in high school baseball. Quit throwing the ball sidearm and get the damn ball to try. Stop trying to look effing cool and have this nice little... little side, like, dude, one of my favorite infielders of all time, because he was an Oriole, J.J. Hardy.
Should be, because
that
was
dude
excellent.
Was fundamental as hell. I'm coming over the top, and I'm firing that ball
dude,
to
I got
first base.
I got Omar Vizquel.
It's just like,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like, what are we doing? Like, yeah. Like, bro, it's, and yeah, second base, I mean, it's gonna be ugly. And have fun turning two, like...
Right?
You're going to go 6-3-2.
What does Mookie do? Mookie's like, oh, God.
Dude, if
Mookie catches a backhand and has to, like, glove flip it to second, he's like, that's a bad idea.
Well, just a guy sliding into second.
I'll just eat the runner at second and throw to first myself.
The guy sliding in at second is going to give Lux a heart attack, and he's going to throw that thing into the fifth row behind the railing.
Like, I can't wait to see...
Or I guess into the net.
I can't wait to see an average 6-4-3 double play. And the guy running to second gets into second safe standing up because Mookie's like, I'm just going to throw to first. This will be the second out. He's not going to score. Yoshi's on the mound. We'll be okay. These are the concerns. So when Shohei and Yoshi sign with the Dodgers and then they trade and get Glasnow, and it seems like they have this plethora of youth coming up, these are why I have concerns about the Dodgers. I don't mean to get all cowherd on everybody, but like, this is a serious thing.
You're getting that, Swigard on
that
us.
That nobody wants to talk about.
Swigard was concerned about this team just a couple weeks ago, and Sprague, I mean, even me, I was like, shut up. Like, what are we doing?
Hold on, everybody.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what he's saying about this Dodgers team is, hold on. We got a situation here.
Because right now, you have Mookie at one, Shohei at two, Freddie at three, Will Smith at four. That sounds awesome. Who's at 5, 6, 7, 8, 9? You got Yoshi at one, an untested, although I think is going to be really good. He has a nasty slider. You have Glasnow at two, who I absolutely love with his slutter. And coming off, he's finally fully healthy. I love Glasnow on this Dodger team. You're going to get Walker back at some point, and you have to think he's going to pitch well. But outside of that, and the bullpen, like, am I the only person that believes that this Dodger team is fully flawed? I don't care how many guys you have. This team is brutal.
I mean, you're not an Outman guy. I like him in the outfield. I think he's going to be fine for him. They signed Teo to play left. So Hernandez, going to be great for him. Probably hit 25 homers just like he did in Seattle last year. I don't see the holes like you do. They've got a guy. What was it? Andujar? So, who the hell played shortstop for them last year? They've got two guys on their roster that they could lean on besides him. And I feel like Lux coming into 2024 was more of a bonus because they had expectations for him in 2023. Now it's just like, hey, great to have you back, but I think if it doesn't work out, we have a plan to move on. And it sounds like, yeah, Mookie going to second was at least discussed at some point in the offseason. I don't think it was a huge surprise.
No, they were going to make him the second baseman, but now to make him the short, let me tell you what, if you're a Dodger fan, I highly recommend Camel Reds. I smoked them for 10 years. They're absolutely fantastic. I'm dying for one right now. That is going to get you through this season.
Maybe some peyote.
Maybe some ayahuasca.
Some Sudafed.
Some dark tree frog venom.
Just don't think that Sandy Hook was an inside job.
This is going to be quite a year for the Dodgers and Dodger fans. It's going to be a roller coaster of emotions.
Take my like anti-Dave Roberts out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodgers might be my new most fascinating team in baseball.
They're almost going to be like watching the Wizards, like entertainingly scary.
Yeah. I mean, they were one of the best regular season teams last year. Now they added Ohtani, 40 home runs, 100 plus RBIs to that.
Dude, you know what they remind me of? The Clippers.
That's a good one. That is a good one.
This team should dominate it. The Suns. You got Booker, Beal, and Durant? This should dominate the world.
Yeah, my Wizards comparison.
You're the seventh seed.
My Wizards comparison wasn't great because the Wizards suck, but again, it's almost like, wow, I can't wait to watch this train wreck.
Basketball,
give me the ball, because I'm going to go up and
dunk it. We really get into it. But that's what it is. It's like you're top heavy, but I don't know where the rest of it goes. I find this Dodger team fascinating. I'm going to watch probably at least the first 8 to 10 starts of Yoshi just to see how that goes, and I'm probably going to watch the first 8 to 10 starts of Glasnow. Like, for somebody that hates the Dodgers, you know the old adage, you know I'm going to hate F that person?
Hate listen in our business.
I think I'm going to hate F the Dodgers this year.
My God. Yeah. Keep him away from the Dodger Stadium, please.
All right, when we come back,
100 yards at least.
When we come back, okay, the Dodgers are going to be okay. They've still got a lot of great talent.
It's going to be a hate watch.
I'm on a soapbox.
How about hate watch, not hate F?
There you go. I'll deter to that. Okay, hate watch the Dodgers.
You're going to be like that old man at Target. Just watching and just, oh, God, I love this.
So good right now.
Boy, give me
and
more.
Then you just, bam!
Who doesn't like good rugby action?
But there is a team that I would be massively concerned of if you are that. It's a team that lives in the biggest market and might be the most valuable franchise in all of North America. The Yankees should be quite concerned right now, my friends.
I can't believe you were saying that they have a chance to win the division. How yeah, dumb are
you?
How
dumb Yikes. Are you? Yeah, nobody would have ever picked them to finish last.
Go to break.
All right, we'll get to the Yankees and what the hell is going on. And flags raised. Hot corner today, the fan. All right, the real question is this team going to be better than the Yankees? Right now, I'm starting to feel like the Mets have a better shot at the playoffs than the Yankees do. And if you're in New York, you could talk about that for 3 hours. Maybe I should move to New York. Maybe we should do the show in New York.
No.
I think the lines, the phone lines, they would be full, just bursting the whole show.
Hey, that sounds great.
People wanted to yell at us.
That sounds great. Here I am, bashing the Yankees, loving the Mets, and telling you how the Dodgers suck. So some 80-year-old dude is like, I told you Brooklyn was terrible.
Vinny in Queens, you're live. tell us your thoughts.
Edwin's amazing. Edwin is amazing. The Yankees suck.
Vinny, you there? We lost Vinny. Vinny's not there. Thank God.
Getting higgy with it.
Thank God we don't take callers.
It's so funny. This was my leading story coming into the week, and then Dylan Cease kind of threw me off, and then I just had to bang on Dave Roberts.
Gross.
And what the hell is going on in LA. So that was a fixture at 7:30 for me. But this is some real news that I feel like a lot of people are kind of pushing to the wayside. Aaron Judge has some abdominal issues. He's not swinging right now. He hopes to be ready for opening day. And I think as the captain of the Yankees, he's going to go out there and play opening day. And then probably go to the IL for 15 days. But the bigger concern now is your Cy Young winner, your cash cow, the only thing you have going in it when it comes to the pitching category.
Carlos Rodon. Oh.
Garrett Cole is going to be out for 2 months as he met with some doctors. He has elbow inflammation. I've seen pictures of him at grocery stores pointing to things with his left arm instead of his right.
Oh, wow. You're going full Zapruder.
I'm going full Instagram college football prospect watch.
He can't lift that sack of potatoes in the produce aisle. Huh?
He's not even going to try. Let me tell you this, my friends. If Garrett Cole has Tommy John surgery, the dreaded words, not that he's going to, I'm not breaking news here, and I'm not wishing ill fate. Gerrit Cole is one of the best pitchers in the game, if not the best pitcher in the game.
You hate Gerrit Cole as well.
I kind of do hate Gerrit Cole.
Same. Don't try and switch up now.
Only as a human, not as a pitcher.
Now that the man is down, don't try and let up now.
Well, I've got a conspiracy theory to add to your conspiracy theory coming up after you're done.
But if Gerrit Cole is out for 2 months and then tries to come back in June and can't go and does Tommy John, see you in 2026, and that's $60 million you're spending for somebody that can't go. Also, Aaron Judge, let's not forget, this guy has a toe that is going to affect him for the rest of his life.
That toe's bigger than my hand.
And now his abdominal, I don't know. When we preview the American League East, you'll see what I have to say about the Yankees. I don't love this team going forward. I just really don't. And now your two most important, crucial guys are in serious trouble.
It's brutal. I mean, last week I was sitting here like, I don't know, I think they're going to be much better. You cannot have a successful season without these guys on your team. Plain and simple. You didn't have a successful last season without Judge. Now take away your Cy Young award-winning ace. Good luck, man. And I know that you got Marcus Stroman. That's great. He had a great year.
Was a nice pickup.
He's not Gerrit Cole. Nope. He's not going to replace what he does on the mound. And Judge, again, like, hey, good job getting Soto, but we've seen what Judge can do out there with a full season. He is setting records. He is the most valuable player on that offensive side of the team.
And if Judge can't go and you have Soto this year, how are you, in theory, any different than last year? You're just trading one for the other.
I get it. And you need his power. Soto can get on base, and yeah, he can hit the ball far, Nobody has the power like Aaron Judge does.
Right.
And nobody has the arm like Gerrit Cole either. It's like, just good luck, dude. Good luck, Yankees.
It's okay, guys. The 40 home runs are coming from Giancarlo Stanton. He's going to be healthy for the entire season, right?
No,
he's not.
Well, I said, I think last week, it was like, well, you don't have to depend on Stanton. It's like, oh, dear God.
Now you're depending on him.
Yeah, exactly.
You're depending on him and Rizzo and LeMahieu and a bunch of old dudes
to make up for 50, 60 home runs and 120 RBIs.
Meanwhile, you're trading prospects that other people are trading. Like, I'm a longtime Cleveland Indians fan, and whenever we traded prospects with the Yankees, we held on to those guys because they were good, except for Justice Sheffield. And now you're at a point where nobody values that farm system. Volpe might be good, but none of them are going to count or anything.
Now, that was his rookie season last year, right? Volpe.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
you never know.
He hit 20 homers.
He had a good season, and he plays in the, you know, you need him. I think this is a death nail. Even if Gerrit Cole doesn't have Tommy John surgery, I think you're just delaying it to some point.
I'm not trying to rag on players, but it is really frustrating to me when a guy that's paid $50 million a year to pitch, you know, sometimes just unlucky situations happen. I think like most pitchers will have a major arm injury at some point, whether or not they have Tommy John. All pitchers deal with this, but to come in to the regular season and to have this like just nagging you immediately, it almost makes me wonder if Scott Boras, yes, he is Gerrit Cole's agent, knew something was going on, and that's the reason he's been telling Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell to just sit on their hands like, guys, it's okay. My other client is going to have a spot opening up pretty soon.
And that's going to be the most Yankee move ever, the most reactionary Yankee move ever, to go give the bag to Snell or Montgomery simply because you're worried about Gerrit Cole. But the reality is I think you're massively worried about Gerrit Cole.
Well, and with Montgomery, I mean, the reports are saying that the Red Sox were the leader in the clubhouse there. So it's like, if you are the Yankees, you try and take – you lost out on C's. So now,
and Boston's desperate with Giolito going down.
And luckily, he's avoiding Tommy
right.
John's
surgery. He got lucky on that, too.
So that's where, I mean, the Yankees.
The Yankees are the team that traded for Jose Canseco back in the day, so the Red Sox could not get Jose Canseco.
They also did the same for Alex Rodriguez, exactly. I would argue.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So Yankees, best of luck. I mean, again, last week, I had a little bit of faith that this team could be better than last year.
I was ready for you guys to talk me down. We're going to do the AL East next week, and I was ready for you guys to talk me down. And this, it's kind of like, well, egg on your face.
No,
not
I think
you two, but the collective you.
I think if they go and sign Blake Snell immediately, yeah, they'll probably be a little bit closer to those expectations we had, but they've got to do something now.
All right, we got a loaded second hour for you. We'll continue our tour de MLB as we have been previewing divisions. We are now in the American League. We'll start in the Central. We'll do the East next week, and we'll end on the West as that's more fun and topical. But we'll slide into the Central. I got some fun ideas to bounce off you guys, and let me see how you feel. We'll do all that next. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Detonate the fan.
State championship is being played this week.
Tom, I'm standing here with the little sluggers and some of their parents, and I can't tell you how excited they are.
This is the Hot Corner.
Little Stan March is the pitcher for the South Park Little League team. Mr. March, you must be very proud of your son. They've worked really hard to get here, Chris, and, you know, I don't like to really trash talk, but I don't think Denver has a chance.
With Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
Oh, well, I'm sure some of the Denver kids' parents would disagree with you. And
oh, yeah! Oh, yeah! South Park is going down! There ain't no way some little mountain kids can beat Denver! Not with my son on second base!
On the Odyssey app.
Oh, looks like we got some parental trash talking going on here. Mr. Marsh, any comment? Well, I think that there's a...
Mr. Marsh? Who wants to hear from a Mr. Marsh? I am the ultimate Little League trash talking father. I am the Bat Dad! Bat Dad knows no fear!
And 1080.
Bat Dad knows no pain! I want you, Marsh! I want you!
The Fan.
You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around.
Welcome into the second hour of the Hot Corner. If you're missing in the first hour, you can download that at the Fan Podcast at 10inthefan.com or the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. There's the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. All texts to the Fan or via the Vancouver 4 text line. Your dollar goes further. At Vancouver 4, they treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. I was actually at Vancouver Ford earlier today.
No, a lot of people say they have the best, possibly the best showroom in the world.
I can't tell you. It's so good there. It's so unbelievable how great their people are. It's probably the best people you've ever met.
So many people saying.
I drove over a drivetrain screw in my front left tire and had to...
A drivetrain screw.
Oh, yeah. It's like a big old bolt. Big old bolt right through the front tire. I could tell because I could hear it when I was driving and I could feel it. So I put the spare on yesterday and I went down to Vancouver Ford today and they took care of it. In fact, my sensor for my tire pressure was out and they fixed that as well. Let me tell you, I had a great time at Vancouver Ford. This is not just a promo. This is a real life. Trust me, I'm a doctor. Coming up in 30 minutes, we got Fair or Foul, but we'll continue this trend of previewing divisions. And right now, my friends, we're in the American League Central.
Your American League Central.
My former love.
You know there's many people on this very station and that work in sales, one Ryan Cooley, that still think you're a Guardians fan.
I know, because they don't listen to this show.
That's very true.
Which you can listen to every Wednesday night from 7 to 9 until April 2nd, when we'll be on Tuesdays from 7 to 9. Boys, let me ask you here, all right? I think there was, the NL Central last year said, hold my beer on the worst division in baseball. But the AL Central might have it this year. However, there is some fun topical stuff about this division. Let me ask you first. Is Detroit the worst team in this division?
Well, no.
Is Kansas City the worst team in this division?
No.
I'm going to go with we don't think Minnesota is.
No, they're going to be good, I think.
And I have a feeling that Cleveland starting pitching in Jose Ramirez makes them not the worst.
I think Minnesota and Cleveland are your two best teams.
Congratulations, the White Sox. You have officially hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Now, here's another question. I asked you this earlier, Joe. Does your opinion on the Padres change when they add Dylan Cease? I'm going to ask you the same question. Does your opinion on the White Sox change now that they don't have Dylan Cease?
Yeah, you might lose five more games this year.
I believe a couple weeks ago when we were doing I think it was just last week when we were doing the NL West preview and the NL East.
Okay.
Where I said that the Nationals are going to be the worst team in baseball. And I think you were saying that, no, I believe it will be the White Sox.
Oh, I think I said the Rockies.
Oh, was it? We were going to National League versus National League?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. But hey, man.
But now, hold everything.
I don't have them up. I got to rechange my page.
We've got a situation. The White Sox are trash still, and even more trash than before. Do we want to go some sort of beer bet? Because we're doing sandwich bet that the Nationals will lose more than 100 games.
We think.
Oh, I know.
I mean, like,
I'm getting my Dos Hermanos chop sandwich.
Over under 70 games for Pedro Grifol to get fired. Like, how long is he going to last this season?
I thought you were about to say over under
wins?
70 wins. I was like,
hell no.
What?
No, is he going to last like halfway through the season at the managerial spot?
Let me tell you this. Eric Fetty, Michael Kopech.
Oh, Kopech.
Kopech's
okay.
Also, yeah. Okay. Michael Soroka.
Things are trending up all
no
of a sudden.
Ankles.
Yeah, he's a cankles guy, isn't he?
Chris, no, like literally they've died on him like three times. Chris Flexen.
Ooh, former Mariner.
Garrett Crochet. Or Crotchet. Whatever you want to say. That's your starting rotation.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember when Yoan Moncada was the highest prospect in baseball?
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, the White Sox got him in 2016.
Andrew Benintendi doing anything for you?
Not at all.
He had a terrible... He signed that big contract, had a terrible season.
Do you remember when people were like, Ronald Acuna Jr.?
Eloy Jimenez.
Eloy Jimenez. Well, I'm going to go with Eloy Jimenez.
Well, they still have Luis Robert Jr.
That is true. Who will get traded at the deadline.
He hits dongs. He's amazing.
Speaking of dongs, Paul DeJong is the shortstop, and he is in the seventh slot, according to our friends at Fangraphs. They did sign Martin Maldonado. Now that Dylan Cease is gone, wishes he was still in Houston.
You know, I'm looking at this 1-9, and yeah, it's bad. I'm telling you, I think the Nationals might have a worse 1-9.
I agree. I also think the Rockies have even worse. And we're all forgetting the A's. However.
Yeah, they don't even have a shortstop.
The Dylan Cease trade is for what they got. They got Yankee prospects that the Padres didn't want. What does that tell you? The Yankee prospects of a farm system that none of us believe in, that's what the White Sox got for the most coveted trade pitcher on the market.
As we do, can you guess the White Sox over-under win total?
I'm going to go with current?
For
post-cease?
For this season.
Post-cease. Post the cease trade.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a good one, because this article I'm looking at is 13 hours ago. Maybe there's I can pull up the old DraftKings app.
I'll bet you the over-under total, according to that pre-cease trade, 75.
75?
Really? That's an easy under for me.
Wow. No.
Lower?
Yes, much. Whoa.
It's got to be like down to 60.
Whoa.
Not that low.
63.5?
66.5.
That's with Dylan Cease?
That was with Dylan Cease.
Oh, my God. Is there over under 59?
Are we going...
That's 100 losses, bro.
What, he cost him 7 games?
Are they going to lose 100 games?
They could.
It's quite possible. It's not looking good.
Boy, it's a great day to be a Tiger or a Royal. I'll tell you that.
The not dumpster fire, but still
it
dumpster fire team.
It is a great day to be a Tiger or a Royal.
At least you got Bobby Witt Jr. in Kansas City.
By the way, this is what I'll end with this. I think it is clear that Cleveland and Minnesota are the top of this division. Yeah. Minnesota, probably a little bit heavily above Minnesota. What I'm going to tell you is Kansas City is my Miami Marlins of last year. This is going to be a tough out. They've invested in the bullpen.
Who?
Kansas City. They've invested in the bullpen. They've got one of the hottest young players. I'm currently in the middle of draft research for fantasy, and Bobby Witt sits anywhere between 2 or 3 overall
behind some dude named Acuna, and he's battling with value for some dude named Julio.
Just gave him the biggest contract in Royals history.
So they're building. They're getting there. Sal Perez is still there to guide the kids. They have invested in this bullpen. Will Smith has won 3 World Series in a row on 3 different teams, and he's in Kansas City. Coincidence? I think not. Not taking Kansas City to win the World Series. However, I think this team is going to be a very pesky, pesky out.
What do you think the win total now, the over-under for the White Sox is?
59. 59 and a half.
I'll go 61.
It is, take the average, 60 and a half.
Yeah, there you go.
That is unbelievable.
Royals, by the way, 73 and a half.
See what I'm saying here?
That's a scrappy little baseball team.
What are the Nationals?
13
just for
games,
sake?
66 and a half. This doesn't bode well.
13 games better than the White Sox. Also, the Tigers.
That's not saying much, though.
Also, the Tigers, like, okay, I know we like to bash on the AL Central. That's not very good, and we'll get to the higher guys up. But what I'm telling you, what Kansas City has done in the offseason, and A.J. Hinch is the right guy to build a roster. He built that Houston roster as a manager. He just turned a blind eye when they decided to cheat because cash rules everything around me. Detroit and Kansas City are not going to be the teams we think they are. They're going to be a lot better. Kansas City's over-under is 73.5. Is that what you said?
73.5.
I'll take the over. Not by much. But this team could sniff 80 games.
Well, I'm glad you got such optimism on the Kansas City Royals. I'll take that optimism, and I will buy some Detroit Tigers with that. Because I like their starting pitching a hell of a lot more than I like Kansas City's starting
pitching. I do as well. Skubal is great. And you know I've just, like, hurt me more, Jack Flaherty. Please hurt me more.
Yeah.
I've loved you since Voldemort was on this show.
And he had flashes with the Orioles after that trade last year, and then it just didn't work out towards the end of the year. But, I like their starting pitching and their closer, Alex Lane, a hell of a lot more.
Got an aging Kenta Maeda, I believe, on their roster as well.
Spencer Torkelson is an up-and-comer. He is the number one overall pick in 2020.
Detroit has had a sneaky good bullpen over the last few years.
Without a doubt.
I didn't
realize Shelby Miller's in the bullpen now. That guy got traded once for Dansby Swanson.
Andrew Chapin?
Yes, he did as the ace.
And looking
number
at
number one overall draft pick. That guy makes like $30 million a year.
Oh, looking at the starting lineup, Parker Meadows, young kid that they're bringing up, Riley Green, Spencer Torkelson, Kerry Carpenter, Mark Hanna, Colt Keith, who is one of their top prospects.
And the richest guy on the team, Javi Baez, bats 7th.
Boy.
Over under 230 strikeouts for Javi Baez this year.
Let's go over, just because it would be funny.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're all going to be swinging for the fences.
The only reason he doesn't get 230 strikeouts is because he's batting 7th and gets less plate appearances.
Do you want to guess the Tigers' over-under win total?
Okay, so if they have Kansas City at 73.5, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet you the Tigers are 69.
67.
Even.
Boy, nice. I'm telling you guys are low on the Tigers. 80 and a half.
What?
80
wins for the Tigers. See, this is what I'm telling you. The Central is not as bad as people think it is.
Is that their starting pitching? Because, like, Akil Baddoo, he basically disappeared after his rookie year. It's not like they've got every single guy that's still up and coming. They've had a couple of flameouts, too.
Yeah, I would give it to starting pitching. I mean, that's not a bad 1-2, Skubal and Flaherty.
You know, I would root for the Tigers and the Royals, but I spent the better part of 30 years rooting against them, so I don't got anything for you. Let's move on. Let's get to the top of this division. The Minnesota Twins are the clear-cut favorite. Can Cleveland do something to catch them, or do they got trade deadline sellers written all over them? We'll get to that next. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris, 10A The Fan. All right, coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get into Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite, as we do at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour, but we're sitting right here in the American League Central. And normally I like to start off with the team projected to be the second best team, but let's go ahead and start at the top. Projected as the Minnesota Twins. I can't imagine they have a high win total projection. I'd be a little surprised if they were over 90.
Oh, I mean, over 90.
Well, I mean, they're projected to win the division. I mean, as far as teams that are playoff contenders, I wouldn't be shocked if they're somewhere around 88, 87.
Okay.
I'd be a little surprised if they're around 90.
Okay. Are you waiting for it? No, let's. I want to wait till they give you the number.
Okay, cool.
Wow. Now, the Cleveland one is surprising me.
I'm sure it's low.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure it's low. This Minnesota team, who has kind of been the odds-on favorite to stranglehold this division over the last few years, but have run into road bumps. They have run into
your boy
Cleveland outperforming, but there's no Terry Francona. You have now slayed the demon that I think was a big reason why Minnesota couldn't. Now, I like Rocco. I like Rocco Baldelli as a manager a lot. I loved him as a player. Injuries didn't quite let him be the player we wanted him to be, but I really like him as a manager a la Craig Counsell. Smart, high baseball IQ guys, great clubhouse guys, et cetera, et cetera. Outside of Pablo Lopez, that's where I worry, is that this starting pitching staff. You have Sonny Gray, who's not there, who finished second in Cy Young, I believe, last year, maybe third. You lose Sonny Gray, and you have nothing to replace him. Now, Lopez should be better this year than he was last year, which is wild because he was really good last year. But this team feels to me a lot like Tampa Bay Light. A lot of guys that are pretty good. If we can put it together, we'll figure it out. We'll sign Carlos Santana. Big on base guy. Solid defense at first. But everybody wants Max Kepler. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kepler gets traded at the deadline. What's Carlos Correa going to give for you? Now, I will say this. The breakout player of the MLB this year is on the Minnesota Twins, and that's Royce Lewis. Royce Lewis will be a top five MVP candidate.
That's just because you saw him play in a minor league game like 5 years ago.
His last minor league game ever, and I have him stashed in the keeper league. But
that's beside the point.
But that's beside the point. Okay? All right?
Hold on, everybody.
That's beside the point. Royce Lewis is going to be a top five MVP candidate in the American League, and he is going to be what gets them to go. But it's funny, Joe. Like, you saw the Cleveland over-under in comparison to the Minnesota Twins. Do you see anybody truly contesting the Twins to win this division?
Yeah, Cleveland. I mean, that team just knows how to, they're a scrappy bunch. And
Minnesota has Duran, but you go to Cleveland, they got Class A.
Yeah, that's what the Franco factor is big in this.
If your best player is Royce Lewis, Cleveland's got Jose Ramirez, who might be the most underrated player in baseball in the last 5 years.
And I don't mind their 1-3, as long as McKenzie can stay healthy.
That's true.
But you have Bieber, McKenzie, and then Tanner Bibee, who played pretty damn good last year.
And Tanner Bibee is like the hot, hot, hot news.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why I'm like, when I look at win totals, do you want them? Do you want those win totals?
Into my veins.
When I see the Cleveland Guardians at 79.5.
Ouch.
That's under what the Tigers are? Because you said 80.5 for Detroit.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, damn.
Well, let's think about this. This is a real thing. And
Sam,
this is,
Zaddy.
Now, it's fun that I can have my homer cap on without being a homer for this team anymore.
You aren't.
But think about Craig Counsell leaving Milwaukee to go to Chicago.
Yeah.
What did they say? That got Chicago 4.5 wins? Something like that? Like his manager war is like 4? What's Terry Francona's manager war? And Stephen Vogt is now the manager in Cleveland.
Vogt.
Stephen Vogt, thank you. Who I think could be a very nice manager in baseball. I think he's smart, played some time at catcher, kind of got an idea of what's going on, played on bad teams, bounced around. I think he could be a good manager. Now, there's talent on this team. Kwan, Andreas Jimenez, Jose Ramirez, the Naylor boys.
I hardly even knew her.
This team has a chance. The biggest problem Cleveland's going to run into is if they're floating at 500, if not below 500 at the trade deadline, Clase's gone, Bieber's gone, and
he's got to blow it up.
And maybe a Stephen Kwan is gone or somebody like that. May not. Cleveland never fully blows it up because they've got Tristan McKenzie and Tanner Bibee coming in, that's why you can get rid of, I don't know, CC Sabathia and Cliff Lee, because you got this guy named Corey Kluber and Trevor Bauer coming down the pipeline. Like, Cleveland's always been able to recharge and revamp, especially when it comes to the pitching staff, but they're never good the years that they have to deal those guys. And I worry for Cleveland that this might be the year that they got to deal those dudes.
Well, yeah, I mean, speaking of, I mean, Bieber was talked about being traded this last season and this offseason. And then, yeah, if McKenzie can stay healthy, that might be a guy that would be looked to be traded too.
You traded Francisco Lindor, at the time the best shortstop in baseball, while we had Corey Seager, Carlos Correa, all these dudes at the top of the mountain. Like, we thought we were in, you know, late 90s shortstop era. Turns out we weren't, but we thought we were. And Frankie was at the top, and you dealt him.
And to answer your question about Francona, I feel like any two-time World Series winning manager adds, got to be at least 6 to 8 games.
With a third appearance.
Exactly. At least that's
and Mother Nature preventing him from one. I'm still mad about it.
That's a minimum 6, probably closer to 8 or 10 because of just the elite play that he's known for. And then on the other side for Minnesota, sneaky grab for them, great clubhouse guy, and I personally believe he was the reason that the Mariners got to, like, to the playoffs was Carlos
Santana.
Yeah, Carlos Santana. He's been all around. Speaking of Cleveland, he spent a lot of time in Cleveland. He's hit everywhere he's gone, maybe not for average, but
first baseman in the 2016 World Series.
And he hits dingers and he hits in clutch situations. He taught young kids how to do that in Seattle. I would not be surprised if they brought him on for the same reason. And Minnesota's like, hey, you're a great kid, or you're a great guy. You can get these kids to the next level. You're going to cost $5 million, and we're going to lean on you as a coach as well.
Well, the great thing about Santana is that nobody ever wants to really read the box score. It's Carlos Santana might bat 230, 225. His on-base percentage is like 380.
He walks.
He doesn't strike out.
The 1-6 for Minnesota, I have more confidence in than the 1-6.
I agree. And
Cleveland.
And Cleveland has struggled since 2016, since trading Lindor, since that 16 run started to age. That's been the problem. Steven Kwan, Jimenez, they're nice players. They're really nice players. But when you're batting them 1-2, that's when you got issues. Rosario, like, Jimenez came over from the Frankie Lindor trade. So you're, like, trying to hold on to him to be great. Miles Straw is another great prospect you're trying to hold on to. But it's just not there. And Francona, I think, was a giant Band-Aid on this team's problems.
1-3 starting pitcher, who would you prefer? Bieber, McKenzie, Bibee? Or Lopez, Joe Ryan, Bailey O'Bear.
I'm going to take Cleveland's. But is Bieber there at the trade deadline? And is McKenzie healthy? But on paper, I like Cleveland.
Yeah,
I like Cleveland. In fact, I think Tanner Bibee might be the best pitcher of all of them.
And
although Pablo Lopez is very, very good. I'm sorry, Luis Arraez. You are good too, but Pablo Lopez is a bigger factor than you are.
Twins also, according to Fangraphs, are projected to have the second best bullpen this year. And I really do think now, with Terry Francona gone, I mean, this division does come down to a managerial aspect. Like, it's usually what's on paper, and you're splitting hairs with that pitching staff. And as I said, the 1-6 on Minnesota, I have more confidence than the 1-6 on Cleveland. So when it's that close, I'm going to give it to the more experienced manager. And Rocco Baldelli has shown over the last couple of years that he's a good manager.
Yeah, you can mark this right now, and it could be old takes exposed, but I don't think so. I mean, come the All-Star break, we're going to be talking about who's getting Emmanuel Clase and who's getting Shane Bieber.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
I wouldn't be shocked if people like the Yankees are on the phone with the Indians, or the Guardians, excuse me, right now about what's it take to get Shane Bieber.
Hey, man, old habits die hard.
All old right? habits die hard.
I get it with the Indians.
I just watched Major League last night.
So who you got winning the division? You'll take the Twins?
Yeah, I'll take the Twins.
Yeah, I'll take the Twins.
I got to go Minnesota.
It's crazy to think Cleveland's going to be a less than 500 team, just because I feel like they have great talent. But again, manager, man, Terry Francona, I think just he managed those teams the last few years very, very well. Obviously, him being a Hall of Fame manager, and that's why probably where they were. And now you don't have that.
It's also amazing to think that Cleveland has decent stability with just terrible ownership. Guess what? Because I don't think the Twins will do anything in the playoffs, I'll take a wild card in this division. Give me the Kansas City Royals.
I like it. I was going to put them second.
This will be my wild card division. Pick.
No, no.
I don't like the Twins to win a playoff game because even the Twins don't like winning playoff games. I'll take a wild card.
Give me
the Royals.
I'll pull up the playoff odds and whatnot in the break, and I'll share them with you on the next.
I'm willing to make a bet of the chances of the Royals or Tigers making the playoffs.
Oh, so now you're lumping in my Tigers.
Yeah,
my Tigers.
Well, I got to hedge my bet.
Roar.
Your Tigers.
Grr.
Joe's Tigers, my Royals. All right, you two take the Tigers, I'll take the Royals. We come back, everybody's favorite, Fair or Foul, but first, there's Schultzy with sports. All right, now I'm done. Welcome in, everybody. This is Fair or Foul, everybody's favorite. We do this at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour every single Wednesday, soon to be Tuesdays on April 2nd. Have you followed? Do you catch up? That's Joe. I'm Patrick. We'll turn it over to Schultzy. Behind the glass.
What's going on? I got three pretty good fair or fouls. A little fart action. Was that at me or just in general?
No, we both have drops. Yeah, that's not good. I don't know if we both need them.
Just stop, dude.
White Sox. I don't know if I'll be putting on this headset again.
No, you won't, Tom. White Sox won't be putting it up on the board much either this year. All right, guys. So, good old MLB free agency still leaking into spring training. And it's kind of crazy because we saw, of course, not only right now, at least three big free agents still unsigned in MLB, but we saw in about a 2 or 3 day period, the NFL just lighting it up with their free agency, guys. It was all over the news. It was, I would think, kind of a testament to other leagues like the NBA and MLB. Like, here's how you keep people interested in your league in the offseason. So, fair or foul, the MLB needs to take a page out of the NFL's book and somehow incentivize agents and players to make free agency quicker and more exciting. Fair or foul?
Take it away, Patrick.
What do they do in the NFL to incentivize?
I believe they shorten the window, first of all, so you can only...
Oh, there's a window.
Yeah, there's a window for
it's
making...
It's like a transfer window in the Premier League.
Yeah, I do believe that there's limitations on that kind of thing. Dude, take this draw board away from this man.
No, man, no. The problem in Major League Baseball is the problem in every single opportunity when you compare it to somebody else. It's that there's no salary cap, there's no salary floor... And there's no, I mean, there's luxury tax, but nobody cares. That's your biggest problem.
If so you have we need a salary cap.
If you have a salary cap, then you can only sign guys for so much. So instead of hanging around waiting for Gerrit Cole to have tendonitis and get Tommy John, you signed 6 weeks ago for $22 million a year instead of thinking you're going to get 31. I'll say foul. Plus the NFL, look, you guys change the rules all the time. Look, you guys constantly want to tweak with things. You go do what you do and leave my sport alone. Get off my lawn!
The question was the MLB needs to incentivize teams.
Yeah, so essentially, like he does, he brings up the salary cap. There's limitations on how much you could spend, when you can spend in the NFL. MLB makes that a lot easier to just kind of, blah, make it happen whenever you want. And it's boring because of that.
Yeah, I don't know how you would incentivize teams to make these transactions happen sooner in a smaller window. You just need to make it a window of time on the calendar. Like, bro, you got 2-3 weeks to make this all happen.
Yeah, the deadline day would be really fun. Like, yeah. Blake Snell's like, okay, you know what? I'll sign with the Royals for 23.
My first...
And then the Royals go to the playoffs, and Joe owes me a sandwich.
My first reaction to all this NFL stuff on Monday... I believe I said it to sales manager, a.k.a. my boss, Ryan Cooley, was, yeah, it'd be nice if baseball did this.
The legend Red Sox fan, Ryan Cooley.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Don't worry, he's not listening anyway.
He had to make money for them. That's like...
Yeah, that's why he's not a true fan.
That's terrible.
He's not a true fan.
That would just...
I got to make money for the Huskies? Nope, not happening.
No, I hear what you guys are saying. It's kind of hard to do, but there's got to be some way. There's got to be something they can do major league-wise
to get some eyes. Look at market value. And if guys aren't willing to pay you $30 million by sitting out for 3-6 weeks to get your $30 million, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Blake Snell's going to sign somewhere for 3 years, $60 million, if he's lucky.
Maybe
okay, maybe 75.
Maybe Scott Boras just needs to die.
Maybe Scott Boras needs to go away. That could be the truth.
That's that. Once he passes, maybe this won't happen anymore. And speaking of Blake Snell, he is the topic of our fair or foul question number two. Gerrit Cole going to be down for an undisclosed amount of time, which usually means indefinitely, months away from a return, as he goes to seek a second opinion from a specialist on his right elbow. Yeah, bugs me that he's coming into spring training with an injured elbow, but that's where the Yankees are. So fair or foul, guys, Blake Snell will be a Yankee by Friday.
By Friday?
By Friday. 48 hours.
Friday?
Put a date on it.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you said that the Yankees, it's kind of on them to go act and try to make something happen if they want to have the season they thought they were going to. This would be the way to do it, right?
I'm just trying to think of other teams in need of a Blake Snell besides the Yankees.
Padres.
Well, they're not going to.
I've got one for you.
You think the Dodgers?
What is Colorado Rockies?
They could definitely use Blake Snell.
They can't pay him enough.
Let's see.
By Friday, I'm going to go ahead and say foul. I think this stretches out for a little bit. I think we're all on pins and needles on Gerrit Cole. The thought of Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery not being around on a roster for opening day, like both of them are not going to pitch on opening day, even though they would be the ace on most staffs that are going to grab them, you know, considering Cole's out, etc. They'll be on a roster by opening day, but Friday, I don't see it. Texas, this is the crazy idea, and this is why the Dylan Cease deal is so wild. Texas and the Giants are in on Dylan Cease and don't get him, and Chicago's return is garbage. That means people aren't willing to give stuff up.
I'm going to say foul. That's not Friday, nor is it the Yankees. I say the Giants. The Giants have been swinging and missing just about this entire offseason. I know they got Matt Chapman, but I feel like they need a second arm, a bona fide second arm in that rotation behind Logan Webb.
And Blake, without a doubt.
And Blake Snell is that dude. That
without a doubt. I agree. And I'm way higher on Snell than Montgomery. I would much rather have Blake Snell than Jordan Montgomery. Are you going to get Jordan Montgomery in the playoffs and World Series for Texas? Or are you going to get Jordan Montgomery for the Yankees? Like, which guy are you going to get? I'm not willing to test that. But I'll tell you what. I've seen Blake Snell in Tampa. I've seen him in a World Series, and I've seen him win two Cy Youngs. Go do like a mini Trevor Bauer deal. Go sign Blake Snell for 2 years, $75 million. 2 years, $75 million, and see if that works.
They got Giants have Kyle Harrison, who's pitched a little in the majors, but their number one overall prospect. They've got a couple younger guys that they're depending on. I just think that it would make their life a lot easier, the younger guys and the Giants, if they were to bring him in. And you're staying in division if you're Blake Snell.
Oh, I think it'd be huge if the Giants got one of those guys.
Book it, Giants, Blake Snell.
Love it.
I'm reporting it here live.
All right, little injury.
Sauces say.
A little injury debate here, guys, for the final fair or foul of this week's Hot Corner. A couple of guys that can't stay on the field for the Mariners. They reacquired him from the Giants this offseason. Outfielder Mitch Haniger v. Angels outfielder Mike Trout. Both struggle with injuries. So fair or foul, Mitch Haniger will play more games than Mike Trout this season. Just to give you the numbers, in 2023, Trout played 82 and Haniger played 61.
One nut Hanny, huh?
All it takes is one, dude. You still got guys. You still got swimmers.
That's true. And cyclists.
That's my wife's ex-husband. I don't know what that means. I just
I was gonna
like
say that's a lot of information
there.
Right there that what? I don't know yeah, if I need. Know.
I just felt like throwing it out there.
Strong swimmers.
I don't know anything about his downstairs region.
His ball situation.
All I know is it cost me a lot of money.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks, bro.
Like, damn, they eat a lot
Rosky.
Of food.
And I buy nice food too. Don't be deceived by the double chin I got going here. All right. That is strictly beer. I eat decently healthy.
I say redemption year for Trout. Foul. He will play more games than Haniger.
Yeah, I'm with Joe on this right now. I'm willing to put it on the board that Mike Trout is a top five finisher in the MVP voting. I think Trout will have a return to form season. I'll bet you Mike Trout plays 130 games, 140 games. I know I said Royce Lewis in the top five, so there's one. I will put Mike Trout in the top five as well. I'll put your boy Rutch in there as well in the American League. Yeah, baby, I got you. I bet you Soto gets some votes as well. And to tickle Schultz's fancy as well, throw Julio in there to round out the
maybe,
top five.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Haniger played 61 games last year, 57 the year before, 21 he played 157. Didn't even play 2020. Granted, there was only 60 games to play.
He also didn't have a team.
And, was he not even on a team that year?
No, I thought he had issues, like, in spring training.
Oh, I think it was his ball sack.
He was recovering from stuff and then had another injury, if I remember correctly.
I don't think I can either.
I don't think that's a medical terminology.
I don't think I can either. But this is
only 63 games in 2019. Give me Trout.
This is not about Mitch Haniger. This is about Mike Trout's going to have a bounce back year. And also, the rumors are that Anaheim might sign Blake Snell.
Disrespect to Trout, 19th best player in MLB according to ESPN.
Dude, I'm researching fantasy drafts right now. He is the 63rd overall prospect in keeper dynasty leagues right now.
Keeper dynasty leagues, I get it, but 63 is...
In theory, on paper, Trout has five more years.
A lot of fans anticipating
comeback. I think
this
is going to be a huge bounce back year for Trout. I do. Well, that is Fair or Foul. We do it every single Wednesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour until we move to Tuesdays, but we'll still do it at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour.
And we'll still do it on Wednesdays for a couple weeks, and then we'll do it on Tuesdays.
Boy, I'm so confused. That's what she said. All right, we come back. We'll wrap this bad boy up. Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Joe just told me something in the break that I got to back him on.
I like money.
Joe likes money.
I like it.
I like money, too.
It's fun having it. It's fun. It's fun spending it, especially when you have an expensive hobby like golf.
See, I'm so lucky that I don't do golf.
You should, dude. There's a way to play cheap golf. That's the thing.
That is true.
You know, like
I've been to Heron Lakes twice in my life, and I don't think I even paid to get in.
I had one of my best rounds ever at Heron Lakes.
Well, everybody's had their best round ever.
No,
at Heron
not
Lakes.
True. Not true. It's a tough course. Well, one of them's a tough course. And I didn't play that one.
Actually, guys, I had all par twos at the children's course, so we're good.
Locked in. locked in at the Campbell's course.
I dominated steak burgers, so.
Green putt. Green putt. No, I am a cheap golfer, and see, this is the tough part, is when you start playing a lot more golf, you start to realize the courses. It's like, okay, now I know why this one is nicer, why this costs more, yeah, and then you start to build that list, like, I'd rather play there. But me, I always look at price first, and I'm always like, I would rather play there, because I'm going to save $20, $30. Because you don't just have the tee time. You buy the cart, and then you buy beers, and then you look in your bag, and you're like, where did my glove go? I lost my glove, damn it. Why? And then you lose 12 balls before the turn, and now I got to buy more balls. That turns into $100 to $150 day. Now I got to get lunch after the round, too, and beers for that, too. And then I made a bet on a hole that I knew I wasn't going to win, so there goes another $10.
Let me tell you
what
something.
What am I doing?
Let me tell you something, Joe. This is how cheap I am when it comes to golf. And I'm looking at the YouTube camera right now. You can watch us on youtube.com/1080amthefan. Looking right at this camera right now. I am so cheap that when it comes to golf, my right hand isn't even worth it. I putt with my left.
Is that like a Caddyshack line? Or?
No, that's a true story.
I was like, are you saving it for something else?
I putt left-handed. My right hand can't be wasted on such trash like that.
Well, I want to say Joey hit me with a shower thought the other day.
Two or four?
Four.
Fair question.
Yes, medium Joe.
He hit you with the shower thought? Yeah. God, I love an 11-year-old shower thought. This must be great.
There's no way he
11,
came,
right? He's 11?
11 this Saturday.
Ooh, nice.
There's no way that he predicted came up with this thought on his own. It was too good.
Okay.
He goes, you know, the point of golf is to play less golf. And I was like,
oh, go to your room.
My God.
If it wasn't illegal, I would beat the living S out of you right now.
I couldn't believe how right he was.
It's the truth.
And I was like, yeah, the less strokes, the better. Therefore, the less I have to play, the better.
Well, what you do is you counter that with, do you realize I have less strokes than you because I am better than you?
Yes, and we are still going the same distance.
Yes.
Like, we still have to.
We still have to go the same distance, and I'm doing it better than you. And he's going to be like, yeah, right, Dad, you're just working harder than me.
Maybe that's how I get him back into golf, because he just refuses.
It's so he, like, had it for a moment and then was like, Dad, I hate you, and I hate everything you're about.
No, he just became much more opinionated on the fact that he doesn't want to golf and doesn't like it and thinks it's boring. Is maybe I just start S-talking him more. I'm like, dude, you suck at golf. I would work you out there. At Campbell course, 10 times out of 10.
Reverse psychology. Course,
yeah, like, dude, you wouldn't stand a chance. But honestly, knowing him, he'd be like, yeah, you're probably right.
Damn. All right.
I'm like, damn it.
Can I stay home and play video games, Dad?
Yeah,
thanks.
That didn't work.
Does he play video games? What's he playing right now? He's a FIFA kid, isn't he?
No, 2K.
2K?
He loves 2K. He loves it too much.
Does he play, like, the Clippers? Because that's the only time you're going to actually see the Clippers play.
No, ouch. He just creates my player builds, and then all he asks for his birthday is gift cards so he can spend it all on virtual currency to make his player better, and it's just...
So what's his player? Is his player more of like a Duncan or a Shaq, or his player is Kobe, huh?
He tries to create like a small forward or like a taller point guard that can shoot threes.
Ben Simmons, if he actually could have played.
Oh, God, no.
If he wants to play.
No, he jacks up that three-point rating to like a 93. It's the game nowadays. That's what the kids want to do, is just be the one that can just splash threes all game long.
Side note, I don't follow the NBA as much as I should, and I know I'm totally going off the rails, especially right as we're about to get out of here. But I have this weird feeling. Can Anthony Edwards, we're all familiar with Anthony Edwards from the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Amazing.
Yeah, don't follow him on social media.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Or Aroldis Chapman, for that matter.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about washed-up closers. Can Anthony Edwards be the best player in the NBA in, like, 5 years?
Potentially. He's really good.
Did you
good.
See that missed dunk against the Lakers?
I don't think I did.
He was coming down the lane and caught a rebound. And he was, like, about to posterize Anthony Davis, but he was, like, a few inches away from the rim than you would normally be. So when he cocked back and threw it down, it didn't score and bounced out. It's one of the scariest things I've seen. It's like Miles Garrett dunking on you.
Well, that block he had the other night against the Pacers
was
insane.
Where he had to duck his head under the rim.
And then he had a great defensive offensive possession against the Clippers last night where he said, Paul George, that ball's going to be mine, and then I'm just going to take this all the way to the court and get a layup.
I remember when he was drafted and coming out of Georgia, and they were like, this kid doesn't care about basketball. He's not going to be any good. That kid cares about basketball.
And he's still good.
And he's really good.
Actually, he doesn't care about basketball, and he's that good.
All right, next week we'll come back. We'll be back on Wednesday at 7. We'll dive into the American League East. What do the Yankees look like? Can Joe's O's get back to where they need to be? I'll be on Dirt and Sprague tomorrow morning
Birdland,
with Will
Birdland.
Ortner, so jump in. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something. I would do.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.